It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
The police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
I like to shoot my 22. Somehow it seems to always trigger you. I pray to God you think that's odd. 'Cause you say he don't exist, so why are you so pissed? I'm offended, you're offended, let's all get offended tonight. I'll order us a beer, we can sit down right here and scream and yell and cuss and fuss and fight.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. Little John Rich, of course, from Big and Rich, and that is the theme song for District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould. Welcome, sir.
So it's not Thinking on a Chicken or whatever that one used to be?
Oh, that's Sick 'em on a Chicken.
Sick 'em on a Chicken.
But we did have Zach Brown Band, but we didn't actually come in with that.
Oh, okay.
That was just part of the rooster update. And you had one rooster. I think you only had one.
I got a jillion now.
How is that? They just
I have too many chickens. Currently, I have too many chickens.
So the way the chickens reproduce, sometimes it's a rooster?
50-50.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
So generally, you know, within it's going to be pretty close to 50-50 when you hatch out eggs.
You know, it's a really good conversation coming when we lead off with chicken talk,
yeah.
Right?
Welcome to chicken talk.
Chicken talk. Like, I'm a chicken hawk, right?
I have a bunch.
You remember
of
that?
I have a bunch. Yeah.
Foghorn Leghorn,
yep.
And the chicken hawk.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that was J.D. Hayworth's derogatory nickname.
Chicken hawk?
No.
What, Foghorn Leghorn?
Foghorn Leghorn.
Well, I interviewed J.D.
He's a good guy.
During the campaign against Senator McCain.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He came right into this room. I liked him.
Yeah.
And he was in radio. He went back into radio.
Yeah, he was in. He was on TV, too. It was a sportscaster.
So, but I remember.
He had a big presence and a big voice, we were calling him Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah, I said, boy, yeah. Right? You're like school in August.
Yeah.
No class.
But yeah, he just couldn't get his legs under him. McCain dumped
$25
million on his noggin when he tried to run against him.
Yeah, I believe I voted for J.D. in that primary.
I did, too, and it was interesting because it was myself, Russell Pierce, and Chuck Gray were the only three members, Republican members of the legislature that endorsed J.D. Hayworth.
Oh,
the rest
really?
Of them endorsed McCain.
Did you have a majority then?
Yeah, we've always had. We had final term, which would have been like 10 and 12. Yeah. We had a veto-proof majority.
Oh, because Brewer was governor
the
last time.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to override a couple of her vetoes, but the rest of the body was not interested in overriding a Republican governor.
Were you ever there in the legislature when Napolitano was governor?
Yep.
Oh, but not a senator, right? That was Linda Bender?
No, I was senator.
Oh, okay. All right. Interesting. Well, as we digress, we've got a lot of topics to talk about from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink or toy sink, however you want to look at it. Find City Maytag, 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue here in Lake Havasu City. We're broadcasting live, and it is Thursday, February 12th, 2026. And if that date doesn't mean anything to you, then I question how old you are. Because on February 12th, we always got the day off for
Lincoln's birthday.
We always did in Nevada.
I think we did in California, too.
Yeah, and then you got the 22nd or the 21st, one of those for Washington's birthday.
Right.
And I said, and Ron said, oh, I didn't realize that. Now we have President's Day, and you asked me if it's for all presidents.
Yeah, I thought it was just for those two.
No, it's for Joe Biden and George Washington.
I'd go look at whoever decided that. Because usually you don't honor people until they're dead.
Who would have been president then? Probably Clinton. It's probably around that time.
I think it was kind of an outgrowth of the Martin Luther King Day debate also.
Oh, that would have been, the early 90s.
Yeah.
And, don't dare take a stand against that or your name will be besmirched like Evan Meekum.
Yeah, and I'm holding on to Columbus Day also.
Are you? And Veterans Day?
Yeah.
So both. Do you think we have too many holidays?
No, but you know what always struck me as weird, though? We take the first day of the year off.
I know, right?
What a bunch of slackers.
Well, you know why.
It's because everybody's hungover.
That's their problem.
Yeah.
It's not my problem.
Yeah.
I know. I'm the same way.
Exactly why, but it is somewhat odd that we start the new year off by taking the first day off.
I mean, I guess I could think of a $1 million idea to make money on that day, like bring everybody, aspirin and coffee or something, right?
There you go.
I don't know.
You got that gal that'll come and infuse you also.
Oh, the nurse. Right. So I want that first and foremost on our list anyway.
Other than the random musings of Supervisor Gould.
And non-Supervisor Lavoie is the new county manager. There's no contract signed yet, but you guys have an agreement, correct?
I don't know if he's actually signed. He agreed.
Yeah, he agreed.
So I don't know if it required a signature. I guess it most likely does.
He's from a state.
I believe he was still in Kingman when the deadline happened. So we have white smoke, so we've got a new county manager.
That's funny. And that's not from here on McCulloch, because that's always dark smoke, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's really funny. He's from Illinois.
Yeah.
What's the name?
David Strahl.
Strahl. Okay. And he was the second choice.
Well, not really.
Okay, wait a minute. You're not going to divulge information that I'm not supposed to know about, right?
I did it, so I can probably talk about it.
Okay.
And it happened in open session.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. I'm the only supervisor that had been around when we hired Sam Elters, the county manager. Everybody else has moved on. So I had experience in this. So I knew how you had to make a motion from the dais. You can't decide something like that in executive session. I think that there was three votes for the first choice, which was Brenton Davis. So I wanted to move him first and get that out of the way. So I made the motion to offer the contract to him. And sure enough, I get four votes to do it, actually. So we ended up offering it to him. They're both equally qualified.
I almost called you out on dais, and then I looked it up just now. It's either, I always say dais, but if you look at that, there's a long A in one pronunciation, and there's a long I in the other.
Interesting.
Right? That's what they call it. I don't know if they call it that anymore, if you said that to a Gen Z, what's a long eye?
No one knows what I'm talking about if I even use the word at all, so.
Dais? No, I know what it is, and you know what it is, but what other definition is there? The platform?
Yeah.
No, that's
the long, skinny desk that we all sit at.
If you're going to run for council, folks, or you're going to run for public office, know that that's called a dais, by the way, because it might get embarrassing later, right? So, anyway.
Versus the podium.
The salary was... It wasn't 180. I think it was like 192 for Strahl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Off the top of my head.
And then probably relocation because he's coming out from Illinois.
Yeah, that's usually part of the package.
It doesn't sound all that tricky either because he'll be here when the current county manager is still here. It's kind of an overlap, I guess.
Yeah,
show him the rope.
Yeah, we negotiated with Sam Elters, the current manager, to have a 2-week overlap period. Sam was getting getting a little antsy. He would like to retire. I think his hard deadline was in July.
He tried once.
Yeah.
Before that, though, before July, if I remember right. And then they brought, didn't he retire and they brought him back?
No.
Because he was an engineer.
No.
I thought he had retired.
Well, he worked for the county back in the late 80s, early 90s.
And then left.
And then he went to work for ADOT, where he was ended up being the chief engineer for ADOT. And then later he went to work for an engineering firm in California.
Uh-huh.
And then when he came back to Arizona, we hired him from that engineering firm.
That's a few pensions if you're, you know, a lot of people criticize people for double dipping. I never do. If you can, why not?
Yeah, I'm not sure how that plays out if he was in ASRS the whole time.
Well, because you've got ADOT too. It doesn't really matter.
ADOT is probably in ASRS also.
Yeah, does it really matter though? I mean, he's earned it.
Yeah.
He's the engineer.
Yeah, you're paying into it, and your employer pays into it. ASRS is equal participation from both the employee and the employer.
Gotcha.
PSPRS is the public safety pensions. Those are fixed on the employee side. So any inflation occurs on the employer side.
Okay.
So we pay about three times as much as the employee pays. I think the employee pays 7%, and I think the employer ends up paying like 21%.
Let me take a guess. ASRS, Arizona State Retirement System.
And public safety pension and retirement system.
PSRS,
yeah.
All right.
I did a stint as the chairman of the retirement committee when I was a senator.
All right. Perfect.
I did a stint as about every chairman.
Do you know anything about Mr. Strahl? What his background is, anything like that?
Yeah, he was a lawyer.
And
for about 20 years ago, and then he started doing management type things.
Oh, he saw what public administrators make on their golden parachutes.
Yeah, so he's been various different, and we didn't offer a golden parachute.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we don't do that.
Do you never do that?
We haven't done it on this manager or the previous manager, and I don't think the one before that had a golden parachute.
He wasn't the county manager, but he was city manager. Not since Kaffenberger left, right?
I don't know what they
did. He did have one.
The city managers, Bruce Williams, had a golden parachute.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Toby Cotter does, and I don't know if Tim Walsh has one up in Kingman.
Toby just got a really nice raise.
Yeah.
It's well-deserved. 17%, but it's well-deserved.
He's been there forever.
Yeah.
And usually the lifespan on a city manager, county manager, is about 4 years because it's a political appointment.
I don't know if you know this about Toby, and I want to get him on the program if you're listening, Toby. I've been working with Mackenzie on that. Toby was the city's PIO.
Oh, was he?
Back when I worked for TV2, like in the early 90s, if I remember right. Then he went to Wisconsin, and they call him it's a town or a village something or other, if I remember right. It's like an administrator.
Okay. Village manager or something.
And then came back. He wanted to come back to Bullhead.
Huh.
So he did. And
He's been one winter.
He's been
in Wisconsin.
He's been there now 15 years, I think.
Yeah.
And
he's been a lot. I don't know for sure, but he's been there for quite a while.
You know what the next closest? You know, Bullhead City in the late 80s, early 90s went through about, I don't know, 10 city managers.
Oh, yeah.
It was like 6 months. They make their probation. No, out of here. Right?
Interesting.
Tim Ernster, who's the former city manager here,
right,
had 3 years in Bullhead. That was the next closest to Toby in tenure was Tim Ernster, and that was at 3 years. Toby's got 15 years. That's pretty outstanding.
Interesting. Charlie Cassens, that used to be city manager here, had also been the PIO. He was PIO back when I was a city councilman.
Right, right. So, Tim, I don't know where Tim is now. I saw his son on Monday Night Football. That was funny.
That's right, that's right.
That was funny. He ran out there. He's a punter for the Broncos, I think it was, and he ran out without a helmet to punt.
Yeah?
John Madden's like, that's my kind of punter. He runs on the field without a helmet. So anyway, he was a linebacker at NAU.
Interesting.
Ernster's Paul Ernster.
Yeah, I remember that it is had some kind of sports connection.
Well,
boy, did you see the Tarek Skubal?
Oh, man.
He's in negotiation on his contract somewhere between $19 and $32 million.
He turned him down?
Did he turn the whole thing down?
The Tigers, yeah. The extension.
Anyway, because I think it's going to, was he going to arbitration last week?
I don't know, but he and his wife live in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah?
That's what I'm hoping for. At the trade deadline, maybe a big-name player for a big-name player.
Uh-huh.
Like Ketel Marte for Tarek Skubal.
Interesting.
I'd take it.
Tarek Skubal is the son of our clerk, the clerk of the Board of Supervisors, Laura Skubal.
Laura, right. Yeah, and grew up in Kingman.
Yeah.
That's why I think he's destined to be a Diamondback.
And it's funny, she was telling me a story that recruiters were looking at him, and they wondered how did he develop the concentration that he has.
I think you told me this.
And he said that the Little League field that he learned to play at is right next to the animal shelter, right down by the railroad tracks.
That's so awesome.
So between the barking dogs and the trains coming by at 15 minutes, he had to develop some concentration.
Wow. And that's Little League.
Yeah.
So that's 12 and under.
Right.
Because you have the juniors and seniors. So anyway, or majors and minors, that's what it is.
Yep.
And majors are like 12, 11 years old. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to take a break. I was looking at the topics that we picked for today and want to get into that Muslim cemetery.
Okay.
You guys turned it down, right?
Yeah.
Was that? Anyway, we'll talk about it when we come back. I've got. You know what that says, Ron? What does that say right there?
Rockabilly reunion weekend.
Weekend. Key word, weekend. That makes them 3-day passes. These are worth $50 each. If you were to buy them a day at a time, by Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, individually. So I've got one pair of wristbands to give away for Rockabilly Reunion Weekend. And that starts tomorrow at Windsor 4. Give me a call, 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. Do not call the office, please. Marissa June is in another ticket giveaway. It's for Kane Brown tickets.
Okay.
Yeah, on our sister station, KJJ Nash 102.3. So there you go. Phone's ringing. I'm going to clear it, and then...
There are listeners out there.
Yeah, you know, we know there are. All right. Ron Gould is our guest, District 5 County Supervisor, and we'll be right back in a moment. This is Speak Out. Stay with us.
I was thinking to myself, I'm so glad that I live in America. It's a high school prom. It's a Springsteen song. It's a ride in a Chevrolet.
Made a change to everything from my heart to my last name. Hey, how to tell when he fell, that boy's heaven sent. And every night when I close my eyes before I say amen, I thank God I get to wake up by your side. Thank God your hand fits perfectly in mine. And thank God you love me when you didn't have to, but you did and you do.
All right, back on Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie with District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould. Wanted to change it up a little bit, you know?
Sure.
Always playing the same stuff.
Yep.
Right? And it's a good song.
Yeah.
And it's got the word God in it.
There you go.
Perfect. In the title, anyway. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, by TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Blonzy Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, and by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center in Bullhead City. Don't forget, we stream live, and our show archives put up at about 15 minutes after we were over here on KNTRtalk.com, and there's lots of stuff up there, even Common Ground. Are you getting to listen to Common Ground?
No, I keep forgetting to turn it on.
I thought you listened to us all the time. Like you had a busted radio that was stuck on us.
Depends on where I am, because your signal doesn't go out to the ranch.
Right. It does some. You know, Kenny said it hits his driveway, but when he goes in the house, he can't.
It's okay in the wintertime, but it's hot out there in the summertime.
Yeah, I hear you. So, speaking of, we were talking about Mojave Electric Cooperative being a sponsor of the show.
Sure.
Did you see somebody was trimming a tree and it hit a power line, knocked out power to 900 and some homes or members?
I didn't see that, but it's not uncommon.
I just can't believe that people still don't that people still do that. That was right along Hancock Road there. Yeah. I mean, a busy corridor.
A lot of times the power companies trim trees just to get them out of the lines.
Right. And sometimes they do it like the first time's free type thing.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. Plug for Mojave Electric, but guys, call Mojave Electric before you're going to trim your trees and say, hey, come out and look at this. See if you think it's going to hit a power line.
I've seen trampolines blow up into the power lines.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
They can't. You'll have a monsoon, have a microburst, and it'll launch people's trampolines because they have a pretty good sail effect if you can get them tipped over, sailed up and knocked the power out one time. Metal sheds that aren't tied to the ground.
Or hit that service line that comes into the house, especially awnings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you see that, too, on mobile homes. They'll flip the awning, and the awning hits the usually the mobiles, they have a power pole that's not on top of the house. But I've seen them hit the drop.
I'll have to tell you a joke off the air about the difference between a tornado and a bullhead divorce. But anyway.
Okay.
I digress. Muslim cemetery. I keep forgetting to talk to you guys about this when you come in, the supervisors or anybody that's, political or district, one of the districts anyway in the county. Who was looking to put in a Muslim cemetery and where?
That was a group called the NV Muslims out of Las Vegas.
You don't say.
Apparently somebody donated them a piece of land in White Hills.
Okay.
White Hills is on Highway 93 between the bridge and Kingman, basically. And so they wanted to put a cemetery in there. A private cemetery. The neighbors were not too keen on it because it's in a residential area. It's in an AR zone, agricultural rural. The neighbors weren't too keen on it, and so we turned it down.
I remember them trying the same thing in Las Vegas.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and I don't think the neighbors were too keen on it there either.
Well, buy the right piece of property. If you buy the right piece of property, then you have those. There's the things that it's already known that you can do the list of things on the piece of property. So the neighbors, if they do their due diligence, know what that property can be used for. The problem arises when you have people come in and they want to rezone property for a higher use because they don't want to pay the price for property that's already zoned for that higher use.
I didn't realize there were still segregated cemeteries out there. My grandparents are buried in a Catholic cemetery, but that's back east.
Yeah.
Right next to a Jewish cemetery, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't realize that was still a thing.
I don't know that they were going to segregate it by religion. And he said anybody could get buried there.
Oh, really?
But it's not a commercial. It wasn't going to be a commercial cemetery. But it was just—it's not a good fit for a residential neighborhood.
Yeah, I was gonna say if it was a Muslim cemetery, I mean, how many are in Mojave County or in the local area? Where would those bodies or caskets come from?
It sounded like they were gonna be coming over from Las Vegas, which is another state, and there's issues, that you have to follow the rules to bring a deceased body over a state line.
Okay,
but that's not our problem. That's up to them to follow those rules. For us, it was just at least I can't speak for the rest of the board,
right.
But my feeling was that it was a bad fit for the neighborhood.
I have a different feeling, but it's more out of paranoia,
uh-huh.
Being that there's a jihad going on.
Yeah.
That's my feeling, and if anybody can be buried there. Let's get a feel of the callers. What do the listeners think on this one? 928-854-5687. 928-854-KNTR, or you can text in your question or opinion, or maybe Valerie will text me, right?
Valerie probably not, because she's off today.
She is.
Tomorrow
That's terrible.
She's got to babysit her grandbaby.
That means
she's
you got have
a two-year-old grandson that her son was going to a convention.
If she's off today, you're off your game.
Yeah, I'm flying solo.
Flying by the seat of your pants. And anyway, our text line is 928-727-5566, and a perfect place for a break. And congratulations to Jerome. And I asked him, is that spelled like the town? And yeah, there's only one way to spell Jerome, I guess, right?
Somebody could probably dream up another way.
Jerome picked up Rockabilly Reunion Weekend tickets. That's for all 3 days starting tomorrow. And guess what? We have a show tomorrow. We actually have a show on Friday.
Jackpot.
Leo Biasucci.
There you go.
He's going to be in the studio. And we're going to talk about something that Leo's working on right now with the state lands bill. Have you heard about this?
No.
Yeah. Well, there's only one state lands commissioner.
Oh, I yeah.
One person
to,
makes that whole decision.
You wanted to bust it up by
county.
County. Yeah. It's,
right.
Good luck.
We'll see what happens.
I had a similar bill to bust up the corporation commission by legislative districts.
How about we don't vote for in Nevada? You don't vote for him. It's a public utilities commission, I believe.
I don't know. That makes it any better.
I don't. Yeah. Right. All right. We're gonna take a short break. If I remember right, this was Kane Brown's first hit. Lose It. So, anyway, they're loving Kane Brown over on KJJJ Nash 102.3 right now, listening for those liners to call in and win. We're done giving away tickets for today, though, or passes. So, all right, we'll be back with more on Speak Out in a moment. We're with District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould. Stay with us.
We'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list and a statue of liberty.
And as Ron Gould would say,
banned by NBC.
That's it. Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, by the Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, SamsGuns.com, by Solar Power, by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place, Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City, and A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com. And don't forget to buy local, or it's buy local. I wanted to get that out of the way before we get this next conversation.
Sure.
Because, I don't know, if I were to go back to church, I'd probably start at Sunday school, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just, there's only so much that this can hold.
It's, sure.
My brain I'm pointing to, folks. I look at it like a hard drive. When new stuff comes in, I toss old stuff out.
It's still in there floating around, though. It just takes a couple of days for it to come up.
If it is, it's lost and gone. But you mentioned you have a daughter named Rachel.
Right.
And I said, that's from the Old Testament, right?
Yeah.
And then you said,
she
had a sister.
The loved daughter.
The what?
The loved daughter.
The loved daughter.
Yeah.
Okay. And then something about, what was it after that?
Leah was her sister, and okay. Leah means cow-eyed.
That's what I laughed at. I'm like, what?
People don't look at this. Look at the...
Leah means cow.
Yeah, it was the one when... I forget who their father was,
man.
But they gave him... it was Jacob worked for like 7 years, and then the dad switched brides on him and gave him Leah, and then he had to work for another 7 years to get Rachel.
When you said that, I went, what? Because I don't, I don't know them, but I know of two Leahs that email... constantly. One email spots for a client. The other one, I believe, works for the school district.
Uh-huh.
Like a point of contact for.
Yeah.
I'm like...
I'm sorry. That's just what it's...
Ouch! So, anyway, the interesting conversations that we get into here on Speak Out that are off the air, those are the ones we should record for the website,
there
right?
There you go.
So
just let the camera roll.
What's with the library donation?
Oh,
you were telling me before the show, we're not burning books, but we're choosing books, right?
Well, the Board of Supervisors sits as the board of the library district. It's called the Mojave County Free Library District. So the Board of Supervisors, we sit as that board also. So we make decisions for the library district. Well, we get a list of donations that we have to approve, and this was about 6 months worth of books that had been donated. So my assistant Valerie was looking at the books, which is what we're supposed to do, is look at this stuff, and she runs across this book. But let me read you the thumbnail of this book.
One second. Are you implying that they're hardly ever looked at, the books?
I don't know that anybody,
oh, you don't know.
I don't know that anybody looks at this stuff. I would assume the library board, we have a library advisory board, and I would assume that they look at the stuff, but maybe not.
But I would think that libraries, I don't know. I don't want to go out on a limb here, but wouldn't they be a little left-leaning, like a, you know, see the calendar here?
Maybe.
I put this here just to bug people like you. It's a PBS calendar.
Oh. I will say, I was listening to PBS up flag on a flag when I was up in Kingman one time.
NPR?
Putting up campaign signs. And they gave the best overview of derivatives that I'd ever heard, which is what collapsed the economy back in the real estate bubble.
Absolutely.
But I don't want to get sidetracked on that. But that
they do some good in-depth reporting like that when it's not political.
You know, in reality, you need to take in information from a broad spectrum of sources, and then you make the decision. Don't let them decide for you.
Sound like Brian Springberg now.
There you go.
Go ahead.
So anyway, so we look up this book. This book is called The Beautiful Something Else by Ash Van Otterloo.
The Beautiful Something
And this
else.
Is supposed to be a book for eighth graders.
Oh.
So bear that in mind. Also bear in mind that the library does not police your child when your child goes in to check out a book. Apparently, the kid's supposed to be 10 to be in there by himself.
Oh.
But they actually have a statement that was passed by the Board of Supervisors in 2003 that says, basically, we're not gonna police your kid. It's up to you to pay attention to what he checks out. And it said that they weren't going to usurp parental authority. I thought that if you give my kid something that I don't approve, you are usurping my parental authority. It cuts that way. It doesn't cut the other way.
This is what it says on Google.
Uh-huh.
Full of humor and heartbreak, this story about a non-binary character navigating a binary world is perfect for fans of Alex Gino and Kyle Lukoff. It's exhausting trying to be the perfect daughter.
Okay, let me read what we have.
Oh, that's what Google says.
Okay. The Beautiful Something Else is by Ash Van Otterloo.
Uh-huh.
It is a middle grade fantasy novel about a non-binary child, Sparrow, who navigates family issues like parental substance abuse and their own identity after moving in with their trans aunt, Mags, and finding supportive queer community at a place called Rainbow House.
Whoa.
The book published in 2023 blends realistic themes with magical elements, like Sparrow's magical shadow, to explore self-discovery, acceptance, and finding your true self. I think that book is inappropriate for children.
It sounds... what I was laughing at is that, or not even laughing, kind of sad when you think about it, Google really dumbed it down.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, made it look, that sounds okay.
And my point is, since the library does not police children, so they'll let children check out any book, so we should not have books in there that are adult-themed.
Those are...
And this is a donated book, and you have to wonder about the motivation of the donor.
That was, well, do you know who the donor is?
I gotta look it up. But what I asked the board for at the meeting on Monday was to give me 30 days to take a look at the rest of the list.
Right.
And we'll see. There's about 30 books on there that I don't think should be in the public library.
Really?
Yeah.
30?
Yeah.
Really? Are you going back through what's been donated?
No, this was just the list from July.
How many books do you get a month donated?
This was a couple hundred.
Wow.
But I just don't. There should not be things in the public library that are inappropriate for children. Our kids are confused enough as it is, and there's some stir on Facebook about I'm a Nazi, fascist book burner and whatnot, which is, you know, big deal. That's the best you can do.
Brought to you by the Mojave County Democrats.
Yeah, and we're not banning the book. You go buy the. It's on Amazon. If you want one, go buy one. If you want your kid to read it, go buy one and let them read it. But I don't want books in the library that the parents of children would not appreciate their child reading.
Heck, put it on your Kindle.
Yeah, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
We're not banning it. I'm not removing it from existence. I'm just saying no. We're not putting this in the Mojave County free library program.
So in the spirit of common ground here,
mm-hmm.
could you put a warning label on it?
Well, you would have to. What you would really have to do is you'd have to grade all the books and then have the librarian police what books that person checked out by their age.
But do you have to grade them all? I mean, you could just look at the synopsis like you were talking about and just put a warning, like an M warning or something, you know,
sure.
M for mature.
You could do that.
On just those books.
You could do that, or we could just not put things like that in there.
But I wonder what the county attorney would say about the, you know, the ramifications of that.
Oh,
obviously,
grading.
It'd be Ryan Espen, right?
No, Ryan's a judge.
Espen?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a judge
yeah.
now?
He's a court commissioner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he got appointed by Judge Moss to be a court commissioner.
Who's the new county attorney?
Will Davis is our new, for the board's new
attorney.
Well,
the attorney. County attorney is Matt Smith.
Matt Smith is the county attorney. Everybody else is a, you know, you have deputy county attorney.
Did I hear he wasn't running again?
Don't know.
No? That's the same Matt Smith that let Warren Jeffs go, right? Yes, it is.
Okay. I'll take your word for
it. Rhetorical question. I was a reporter back then.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They held him for quite a while, even had to force feed him. He cost the county quite a bit of money.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then went to Texas, and I think he's in prison in Texas.
Yep, they put him in prison in Texas.
The stories, the documentaries, if you've watched mm-hmm. on the FLDS, are shocking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the white room they talk about, and that, anyway, what else do we have, Ron? Help me out.
So we'll see what the rest of the board wants to do with those books. But it's not even though it's a donated book and we didn't pay for it. Bear in mind the property taxpayers pay a good chunk of money to the free library system.
But that's typical, 200 books a month.
I don't know if it's typical or not.
Okay, because that's 2,400 books a year.
I've looked at them before, and I just asked a lot the head librarian, the director of the library, what does somebody go through these? And I believe that this is the previous one told me that the Citizens Library Board goes through them. But I don't know if that one got through. I'm kind of worried about what other things got through.
So I think I'm going to circle back here. I'm going to do it. What was her name?
Jen Psaki.
Yeah, Jen Psaki, as Ron Mark Levin would call
uh-huh.
it. Straw, the new county
yeah.
manager elect, or whatever you call him, the new, is he interim?
No, interim would be temporary.
Okay.
Everybody's temporary theoretically, but.
You're right. Have you gotten a feel, can you talk about what his goals are, what his vision is, for the county? What do you ask a candidate like that?
You just ask him a bunch of, you know, questions about this and that. What I was asking them is, do they have a family that they're going to bring here? And the reason that I asked that question is because we lose a lot of good candidates for executive type jobs and doctors and whatnot because the family or the wife is not interested in the culture that we have here.
I got you.
You know, the.
Yeah.
You don't have the same. We don't have the same things that they have in the big city.
Depending on what part of Illinois we're talking about, that's a culture shock.
Yeah,
you know, if they're from rural Illinois, maybe.
Yeah,
it was. Not.
It's not. It's in the Chicago area where he's from. But that he had
is
served.
It Palatine?
Mm.
I thought it was.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's in Chicagoland.
He'd bounced around over 20 years, you know, because like I said, usually these guys are good for 4 or 5 years, and then they're going on to something else.
And then, yeah, I always wondered what you guys asked.
Yeah, it's the same stuff you get asked in a regular job interview. You know, you've read their resume. You know, we had 23 candidates. Two of them were qualified in the eyes of the board. You know, so we personally interviewed six of them.
I always like to know what, if I'm replacing somebody
mm-hmm.
coming in, why did they leave?
Yeah, no, he spent some time with Sam Elters.
Right.
Elters is retiring, theoretically, so I don't know that he has any issues. I met with Strahl last Thursday and just told him, and I was hoping I didn't scare him off. Apparently not, because
no.
He got the job the next day.
You weren't in the welcome committee?
No, I just told him things that we need to deal with, you know, because there's stuff that needs to be dealt with.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so it's kind of hard. You
can take him to the ranch.
Yeah, it's just like any other hire. You really don't know how they're going to perform if you don't have any history with them.
When they come into town, these candidates, let's say you have a top three, do they get some sort of tour or, you know, of the town, of the building? Of what do you do?
I think he went on his own tour.
Ah.
Because he had come back. He was only in town for 24 hours.
Probably went to Valentine to check out the animals and that.
Yeah, I don't know what he did. He was running around like Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And meeting with all the supervisors and the county manager and whatnot.
Well, because we have a fire chief, you know, Pete Palafis, right?
Uh-huh.
And he watched, I think, a year's worth of city council meetings.
Oh, yeah.
Before they interviewed him.
Interesting.
That's the way you do it.
And he would, before they had out, the chief before was Dennis Mueller, who had, right. had been in the fire department before. So he kind of, you know, came up through the ranks.
Sure, sure.
And one of the things that, Straw was talking about is, what do you think about an assistant county manager? And you'd have to.
We don't have one now?
We do not. And the upside to that is, at least you've got an apprentice,
okay.
basically, that when that, you've got somebody that's knowledgeable in that, you'd have to find something for him to do.
Could it be a director?
Well, that's
Stephen Letosky.
Yeah, that's kind of what Sam Elters was doing.
That's what my first choice would be, probably a Steve.
But none
Lutosky.
Of the directors applied.
Oh. But no, for assistant.
Like
your director of public works, assistant county manager.
Director of public works is a big darn job.
I know it is. You have the most employees in the county,
yeah.
don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so that's a, you don't really, that's a handful.
Oh, he's talking about a full-time position?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you meant a title.
And you've got, they've always had, like the right, it's been the right-hand girl of the county manager for the last two managers that did special projects for the county manager without the title of assistant county manager.
Who is that now?
Aaron Speckengross.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Is who it is now.
I didn't realize that the supervisors had a clerk. Like you were saying, it's Laura Scoobal.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that. I mean, was that a recent appointment or?
No, we had before that. It was Ginny Anderson.
See, I don't. Okay, I do recognize the name.
And that's she's the one that's charged with taking the minutes,
okay.
which is an official function.
I know what I want to get your take on. The primary being moved back 2 weeks, Arizona primary.
It gives the recorders and the election department more time between the primary and the general.
But it gives somebody like a Gina Swoboda, who now, her race filled up, the CD1 race that she was in,
yeah,
filled up to like four or five candidates. She was the only one in there for a while, Republican-wise. It's Swikert's old seat.
Yeah, I think there was some candidates before she got in.
So she said, "I'm going to run for Secretary of State."
And that's what she was.
Now,
she was exploring that at the beginning of last year. Also,
right. We just interviewed her, or I just interviewed her, and now she has two fewer weeks to gather 40,000 signatures.
She got in late.
Okay, but still, and even a city council candidate who thought they had so much time, now they just got it cut by 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Eh.
Bummer.
Just eh? You don't think
okay.
it's politically motivated by that side of the aisle?
Once upon a time, it was in September.
Okay.
And it was the day after Labor Day, the following week after Labor Day weekend.
I kind of like that.
Well, to tell you the truth, we moved it forward when I was in the legislature because we wanted the McCain supporters to still be in San Diego.
That's
but
funny.
Apparently there was only
three
guys that were not McCain supporters in the legislature.
That's inside baseball
yeah.
right there. That's great.
But, yeah, I guess it does make that a little quicker, and she's getting into that race late.
I just don't see why you need all the lead-up for the two general candidates. I mean, well, maybe because of the 3 weeks or however
well,
many
the election,
months.
The election starts a month before election
early
day.
Voting.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
And that's
so
really,
over it.
Yeah, that's really, that compresses the time.
I'm so.
So your November, your first Tuesday in November is really kind of your first Tuesday in October. You know, so then you've got September and August. So you've only got 2 months. They say that it's a time crunch for them is what they're
If you're going to have a candidates forum, you can't have it during the 3 weeks of early voting. You can. But what about the people that already voted?
Yeah.
They wait for that first day. No way, man. I vote on election day. I'm sorry, yeah. Sean Hannity or whomever. That's when I vote.
Well, we want you to vote early.
I know you do.
Because we want to check you off our list.
Yeah, I know.
And if we get you to vote early, we'll quit badgering.
But I'm the dreaded PND anyway, so.
It depends
Party
on
not
what,
declared.
It depends on what we're doing, whether we get right. to you guys to badger you guys.
District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould, thanks for being here, as always. That was a good show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It was interesting.
I'm also the treasurer of the Arizona Republican Party.
And I learned what Leah means.
I got to get some mileage out of that, too.
I learned what Leah means.
Yeah, there you go.
Cross-eyed cow?
No, cow-eyed.
Cow-eyed. What does cow-eyed mean?
White
set One on
eyes.
Each side of your
white
face?
White set eyes, I guess.
Oh, boy. All right.
Know. Sorry to all those Leahs.
Back
America.
With more in a moment. I'll be back with a final shot. Stay with us on Speak Out.
But there's a churning in my gut, 'cause I just can't. Daddy grabbed my hand and said,
all right, again, we're going to have a show tomorrow. And special guest, I already confirmed with him. He said, yes, I will be there. Be Legislative District 30 Representative Leo Biasucci. Got that one right. All right, Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News. It's Karate Man. And, yeah, he's getting a dog. Have you guys heard this? It's pretty cool.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.